A child survivor of the Holocaust who was interned at Terezin at the tender age of 5, Vera Eggermeyer could be forgiven for wanting to forget the past. Instead, like so many other Holocaust survivors, she has devoted a great deal of her time to sharing her story in order to make sure that the tragic lessons of World War II are kept alive for future generations. When she last spoke to Radio Prague in 2013 from her home in New Zealand, she had a dream to build a memorial honouring the 1.5 million children killed during the Holocaust. That dream has since come true, and Vera visited Radio Prague studio recently to share her feelings.
First, let me say it was not just my dream. There's a whole team of people. There are children, there are teachers. There are members of the Holocaust Center of the Jewish community who had the same dream. And it is beyond, what has happened is beyond my expectations.
You actually, and the whole team, started the endeavor by collecting 1.5 million buttons, one button for each child. Was that to make the project more engaging for children?
Yes, absolutely. The project itself was started by a teacher in a small Jewish school. And she wanted to give children, there were about 20 children in her class, some idea of the enormity of that disaster. So she thought of collecting buttons. And in fact, those children, that handful of children, who of course are now adults, and who also had that dream, which came but with some time delay, she started them collecting buttons. They touched the buttons, they had to count the buttons. In fact, sometimes it became a little bit of a bore, the ritual of counting. Imagine counting 1.5 million. But the whole idea was to get them involved and to get them thinking about children like them who'd lost their lives. So it started in a school with a teacher, and then the adults became involved.
So one button for each child.
Yes, one button for each child, yes. And the buttons are very different from each other, as all the children were. But the buttons should not really be sacred. I mean, they're just symbols of lives. And the main purpose was to get the children and adults to think about the lost potential, the cut-off lives, to learn the history as well.
And who gave you these buttons? Who did you get
them
from?
Yes, they came from all over the world. They came from people in New Zealand. They came from many people who I contacted directly in Europe, you know, well-known people. From the Czech Republic, we had a survivor, well-known survivor, Dagmar Lieblova, who gave buttons from the Terezin Initiative for her family. We have Chava Pressburger in Israel. So from all over the world, and from prominent people in New Zealand, simple people, people who were touched by the story and who had some perhaps connection themselves with World War II. So many, many sources. And the children had to write letters to get these buttons in, count them. There'd be whole teams of, you know, counting buttons and storing them and so on. So it was a very long project. The button project.
How did schools respond to it?
Yes, it was not directly with schools at that point. You see, we didn't know where to put the buttons, really. That was the problem. There was a difference in vision. Some people in the Jewish community and in the Holocaust Center felt the buttons should be kept in a Holocaust Center. Others felt they should go out into the world. Perhaps in Wellington, the capital of New Zealand, where the button collection started, in a public space, perhaps on the waterfront in Wellington, perhaps in the botanical garden. But nobody wanted the buttons permanently, so we had to store them. And, of course, they deteriorated, they had to be cleaned and so on. So they did come from everywhere, and the storage was a problem for some time.
There was this question about whether it should be something like a travelling exhibition
that
or whether
it
should be a permanent...
That was a genial solution came when finally the end of the storage period came. We could no longer keep them in the basement of the Holocaust Centre. Whilst they were there, they were still accessible and children would come down and look at the baskets full of buttons, run their fingers through it. But that period came to an end, so someone, and I was not that person, came up with the idea of having a travelling memorial. And that's where a designer came in, and he has designed the memorial so that it can be moved from place to place. And initially it will go all around New Zealand. It's in Wellington, then Auckland. It will go south, Christchurch. But that idea developed out of necessity. No home for the Buttons. Can't stay in the Holocaust Centre. No one else wants them permanently. So the idea of a moving or transportable memorial arose. It was a compromise, but a genial one, because now it's everywhere, not just in one place.
Can you give us some idea of what the memorial looks like?
Yes.
What design you chose and why?
Yes, it was the designer himself, who is Dutch in origin, who's very sensitive to the World War II history, since it touches his own family to some extent. He thought of it in terms of a set of tables, like a nest of tables that fit into each other, showing the interrelationship between us all. So it's like a cascade. People see it differently. It can be like a fountain, a cascade, but basically it's a set of tables that collapse into each other. So when the whole thing is in, you know, one small space, it can be like a tower. But when it's spread out, it can be like a river, it can be like a train. It depends on your imagination. And the Buttons are visible all the time because...
Through glass.
They're glass. It's like a set of drawers, if you like. And the advantage is that it can be fitted into many different places, spaces, and it's organic in a way. I mean, it's both a memorial that travels around and also that changes its form in the travelling.
You yourself are a child survivor, we should say, and you have spent much of your life... trying to help children understand the enormity of the 1.5 million children's lives lost and the tragedy of the Second World War. Is it difficult in the present day and age to help young children understand what happened? And you know, how do you expose young children to that kind of information?
Well, the best way, and that's sort of used now in Holocaust teaching, is to tell a story. So you tell the story of one child, for example, and that is the way young children understand. And when they think of that young child like them being projected into a mass of 1.5 million, I think they do understand. And of course, children, like all of us, are now subject or able to see suffering in many forms, television, films, and so on. So young children, even young children, can appreciate suffering. But the Buttons were a very, very good way of, you know, presenting it and telling the story of, you know, there are many, many Czech children who lie in these Buttons. My own cousin, murdered at 14, Peter Ginz, Hannah and the suitcase. So telling a story. And this is what has been done in this children's book written by a New Zealand author. So it is...
Tell us a bit about the book.
Yes, well, it's the book is a byproduct, really, of the memorial. First we had Buttons. First we had a teacher who got children to collect. Then we had the Buttons stored, still talking about, you know, the stories lying within them. And then the memorial itself, and on the basis of the memorial, a book was written. This is a book for children between the ages of 5 and 7. The English is simple, and it's words are repeated, so the children, it's a reading exercise as well. And it's an upbeat book. It's not a book about suffering. It's more a book about hope. What kind of values should children have? How to look at the world, you know, to recognize that other people are like them. And it's a very positive message, and the book is very colorful. It's a bright book. It cheers you up. It doesn't pull you down. That's a way of conveying something to children.
And have you seen children visiting this memorial?
Yes,
how do they react
yes.
to the Buttons and, you know,
yeah,
the system
at the moment,
of drawers?
The memorial is set up in the National Library in Wellington because the project is a Wellington centre propelled by the Holocaust Centre of New Zealand, which is like a memorial, a museum, if you like, where stories are kept and visitors come. So it is housed in the National Library, and it has several sections. It has a section with the memorial itself set up, this cascade of tables, if you like. Nothing around it. That's the way the designer wanted it. And then it has other areas. It's got a reading area. We have books there. Helga Hoshkova Vaisova's book is there. We have Anne Frank's diary, so children can also read. Just, this is so that you get an image of the place where the memorial is housed. Then there's a section on upstanders, trying to get children not to be bystanders, but to do something when they feel something, to behave decently. This is what Nicholas Winton, who is, by the way, a patron of this project, this is what he tried to instill in people. So imagine this space, reading area, upstanders area, and the memorial itself. And that space has been visited by thousands of people. And there is a regular teaching program around the memorial. We have educators who have trained in Yad Vashem who tell stories, their own stories. They usually, I'm one of the few, and there are others who can tell their own story. Usually they tell the story of a relative, you know. So there are many, many children, and I have addressed groups in that space myself who come and who are touched. But you don't want people crying. That's not what it's about. It's to instill good behavior, really, to be a decent person, be a decent child, be a decent friend. Pick the rubbish up if you see it. It has a broader message. And children, I don't know whether that was your question, but they respond very, very well, positively.
Now, your endeavor and this memorial is also a message, a reminder for people, as you say, to behave decently, to stand up to prejudice, discrimination, apathy. Do you feel that you're addressing a very topical issue in the present day?
Well, clearly, there is a lot of apathy in the world today. There's a lot of violence in the world, and people have to make that connection themselves. They see it in their daily lives. I mean, I was shocked just recently in Prague by two events. One was the vandalization of a memorial in the railway station to the parents of the children who Nicholas Winton, the patron of the project and a friend of mine, to those parents who gave up their children. Someone vandalized that. They were not caught on the camera because there was no camera there. So that's a very troubling event that has crept into this country, which has been reasonably peaceful. And the other event that I heard on the news was a young boy of 16 threatening classmates with a firearm. So those are very troubling events on our doorstep here, just as, of course, in New Zealand, the massacre of the Muslim community at prayer in a mosque in Christchurch was a wake-up call for New Zealand. So it is, evil is abroad. It is abroad all the time. And we have to reflect on what happened in the past and somehow adjust our behavior. Whatever, I mean, it can be daily behavior. We don't have to be politicians. We can just be normal people who behave in a kind and decent way. So it is a warning that we're not safe anywhere.
Has this project, and in fact working with children, has it helped you to come to terms with what happened on a personal level?
Yes. Some people say they work on the button project because they could imagine themselves being a button and that they were spared. I don't quite have that because that is actually one way of looking at my story. I was in Terezin as a five-year-old child, right at the end of the war, the last transport after the liberation of Auschwitz and so on. So I could say to myself how lucky that I didn't end up as a button. But what I really reflect on is kind of the dilemmas, the relationships around this whole evil, you know, what my parents had to decide My mother had to decide to be separated from me at one point. My parents married. Occupation of Czechoslovakia occurred. So I'm looking for an understanding, really, of my own life. And I hope to give something back in my daily life. So that is what the buttons have brought me. It's not a lot of tears and a lot of trauma. It's more trying to see what it means for me and for us and what I can do with that knowledge.
Vera, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for coming to the studio and thank you for your good work and sharing all this with others.
Yes, and I'll just add one thing that I would very much, because of my two loyalties to, or my background to Czechoslovakia, the Czech Republic, and to New Zealand, where we emigrated when I was an eight-year-old child, and my European life, if you wish, I would really like this memorial to come one day, to travel here one day across the ocean and be part of the new memorial in Bubny. And I'm currently working on that with people who are in charge. I can see it being really an integral part of Bubny, which is being created. Thank you.
Let's hope it happens. Thank you very much, Vera.
Thank you.